The Seattle Sounders, of course, are the defending MLS champions. Their GM and president of soccer is Garth Lagerwey, and we're very pleased to be joined by Garth Lagerwey at this time. Garth, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Toronto. Apologies for the weather, but you know what? It could be worse.
Hey, I grew up a Cubs fan. I'm from Chicago, so I'm used to this weather, and, you know, it could definitely be a lot worse.
In this show, in this city, we talk a lot about Toronto FC, obviously, and we focused on that, and we've talked about the way to history, yada, yada. What does this match mean for the Seattle Sounders? You know, back-to-back wins, and if I'm not mistaken, actually, MLS has kind of got a history of repeat winners, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, three teams have done it before. The league's, 21, 22 years old now, so, you know, it seems to happen every so often. You know, I don't think that's indicative of much anything, to be honest with you. You know, mm-hmm. I think we came in here last year, and honestly, we were pretty fortunate to come out with the result. I think TFC was the better team probably on the night. And, you know, that doesn't mean we're going to give our rings back, but, you know, it certainly means we've got our work cut out for us trying to come back here against a Toronto team that's even better than it was last year. And you know, just a great organization. You know, you guys have probably traced the ties between the clubs, but, you know, Bill Manning and I worked together at Salt Lake for 7 years, and mm-hmm. Greg Vanney and Robin Fraser and I all worked together over there as well. So a ton of respect for the guys on the field here, and they've done an awesome job. And, you know, it's a juggernaut of a team, best regular season in history, and, you know, literally trying to make history by, you know, by getting the cherry on top and winning the title for them tomorrow. So we'll try to give them the game.
Garth, how is the Seattle side that you're bringing in here this year different from the one last year?
I think we're a little bit younger. We had 13 guys over 30 last year. We came in here and we kind of had to paddle and scrap and hang on. And the good news was is we knew who we were and we knew what we were good at. And I think we're a little bit more complete now. We're a little bit, have a couple more attacking options. I think by the time we got to the final here last year, pretty banged up, we kind of had Ladero and we were going to go as he went. And, you know, still, he's certainly a big part of what we are, but I think we have some other guys now that can join the attack and potentially help us out going forward.
It's funny, your colleague Tim Bezbachenko was on this station earlier this week, and, you know, this happens a lot in soccer, right? But he kind of, one of the things he said is, well, you know, I hope we get a good game. I hope Seattle comes out and goes right at us. And, you know, we don't want him to park the bus. We want him to come out and go right at us and give the fans a good game. And what will be Seattle's approach going into this match?
You know, I heard this too from both sides. I think both teams are aware of the fact that it wasn't a great game last year. You know, it wasn't aesthetically pleasing.
No.
You know, it's a final. Finals are not always great games to watch. But again, I think what you got is the two best teams in the league, the two most talented teams in the league. Both teams scored a bunch of goals in addition to being great defenses. So, you know, when you have, you know, pretty complete teams, and, you know, you go 11, you know, the starting 11 for both these groups, there's not a weak link on the field really anywhere for anybody. And I think, or I'm hopeful that that's going to lead to more soccer being played. Mm-hmm. The fields, we're literally here at BMO right now. The field's in better shape than it was a year ago. From what I understand, that the Grey Cup was played here last year and maybe had a little bit of an impact on the surface. So, man, if we can just keep it above freezing, and again, the grounds crew's done an amazing job. I understand they got a new tarp to help keep it warm. And anyway, the field looks good, and I think that's conducive to good soccer. I think the teams are conducive to good soccer. I think good technical guys with a bunch of good technical ability, and I think both teams have that. So all those signs would seem to point to a better soccer game to watch than maybe we got last year.
Now Toronto FC had two pretty tough legs against Columbus in the Eastern final. Watching those games, what did you take away from those two matches between FC and the Columbus Crew?
Tough games, man. Yeah. Tough, intense games. I mean, the Red Bull series was tough, intense game, too. So, look, I mean, it shows the character of the Toronto side that they're able to get through those games. You know, obviously, they've been here before. They were in the final last year. They've earned the right to host. And, you know, look, the Eastern Conference, they had the better records this year. So, you know, all of those things, you know, I think it's, you know, no reason to run from the facts. I mean, the Columbus is a good team. I think Greg Berhalter is a really good manager. You know, and it's a franchise that's doing a lot of things right. And they gave Toronto a good series. And, likewise, you know, we came through our playoff run and did the best we could with the guys we faced. And now we're both in the final and ready to play this thing.
You know, one One of the sort of the subtexts to the MLS playoffs has been, you know, sort of the continued development of the next generation of U.S. national team players. But I mean, you know, even in Toronto, I mean, I don't know, there's a lot of depth in the U.S. in goalkeeping. But I mean, Alex Bono is a guy people are talking about as, you know, possibly at some point down the road, a guy who could factor in the U.S. national team. But you've got a guy in Jordan Morris who made his return, I believe, for the second leg. I believe he played 90 minutes in the second leg of that game against Houston. He'd been out for a couple of months. And he's a guy that, you know, a lot of European clubs are talking about. How much of a factor could he be in this match? Is he, you know, 100%? And what kind of role do you see for him going forward?
You know, I think Jordan's feeling as good as he has felt in the last 3 months. You know, as to how long he can go and how he is used, I'll leave that up to the coaching staff. But, you know, certainly it's a nice weapon for us to have off the bench. You know, when you talk about a player with his kind of pace, his ability to stretch the field, and just the sheer hard work that he brings. You know, he's a never-say-die kid. He never gives up. And look, he scored some goals. He got some playoff goals last year, and rookie of the year and led the team in scoring. And, you know, he's a kid who's played in some big games, won a national championship for Stanford, you know, scored in Azteca for the U.S. So, you know, anytime you have a player like that available, it makes your team better.